Amen. So amen. Glad to have you. Welcome to the Tabernacle of Divine Glory.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Do not waste your trials. Listen, don't let anyone scare you with trials because it is of a necessity.
Amen.
I said, do not let anyone scare you with trials because trial is a necessity. Trial is something that you cannot avoid. Without trials, you also will not grow. In other words, you will grow as a result of that same trial. You see, without the trials, there will not be triumph. Amen. Now, the trials are meant to make you strong. Your trials, that same trial, I'm not talking about somebody says trial, but your trial, that same thing you call trial, that same thing you call evil, is designed actually by God to make you grow. Many of us want things to go and sail smoothly. A lot of us like the microwave lifestyle. Just get it from the frozen section in the store. Take it home, just put it in the microwave. 3 minutes and it's done. That is what most of us want for life. But unfortunately, that is not how it is designed by God. And because of it, a lot of people are frustrated. A lot of God's people are backsliding. A lot of God's people have gone back into the world because they feel that God has failed. But God actually has not failed.
Amen.
But it is rather we that has failed because we want everything microwave. Fast. But remember also, the microwave also kills. The long use of microwave also what? Kills. Oh, you don't know that? If everything you eat in your life has to be microwave, everything, in fact, there's no time you want to cook. You just go, you know what I mean? You get a vegetable already cooked from the store with chemicals added, with preservative added, you bring it, just put it in the microwave and boom, it's done. It's just a matter of time. Anything that comes fast goes what?
Fast.
Don't you have an adage like that? Anything that comes easily goes what? Easily. But you see, that which you struggle will not go easily, because when you remember what you have suffered to get to that point, you will not want to lose it. It's like a woman who suffered, right? And then finally gets a man to marry. Are you going to tell me that you're going to misuse that marriage? Of course you're not going to misuse that marriage, because you know what you've gone through. It's like a woman who for years have been longing and praying to God, Father, please let me conceive. And finally you conceive. Are you going to tell me that you're going to misuse that child? Of course not. You are going to cherish that child. You want to train up that child. You want that child to become somebody prominent, eminent in the society. That is the same thing with our trials. Our trials are designed by God to make us strong, not to destroy us. Many people want things to go sail smoothly through the various phases of their journey, but life is not designed that way, my brethren. God wants to see the character that you will develop in the process of your trials. You see, the character, the attitude you are going to possess in your trials is actually what God wants to see. So that you will develop, how God wants to see how you will develop in the process of your trial. So that when you come into His full blessings, you'll be able to sustain the blessing. You'll be able to maintain the blessing. Rather than let the blessing destroy you. So what you don't suffer for, you also misuse. I don't want to mention him, of a man that I know, that you all know, don't know what is called suffering. Inherited his father's wealth, right? And then what is he doing? He feels he can fire anybody as he wants because he has not gone through trials. He has not gone through pain, so he doesn't know what pain feels like. Jesus knew what pain feels like. And that's why when he came, he suffered, that he may feel what we feel in the flesh. And that is the reason why when we cry, Lord Jesus, forgive me sincerely, he knows what to suffer, because he's been through the suffering. He felt it. He knows what it's all about. So when you cry, he cannot tell God, remember, I was with this flesh. God, please forgive them. It's not easy to survive with this flesh. Oh, God, please forgive them. That is why Jesus is our advocate. But how can you tell me you want to become a good advocate when you don't know what it feels to fall into the same crime? How do you want to advise me on my marriage when you have not even kept yours? When you don't even know the rudiment of the suffering that marriage entails? How are you going to give me, how do you think you'll be the best advisor? Why are you going to tell that child, I want you to become a doctor? Oh, listen, you must become a doctor. Oh, you know, oh, you missed that doctor. But you, the mother, you refuse to go to school. You, the mother, you refuse to lay an example. Listen, not because I want to study, but I want to lay a good example for my daughter to let her know that, listen, you can be what you want at whatever age. Even though my mom claims that, why would I go to school at night? You know, night means your age is, you know, fast spent. I told her, I want to tell my daughter that, forget the fact that I already have my master's in craft. I went and studied and became a psychologist. So let her know you can be what you want. Lay example. So if I want her to become a doctor, she knows, oh, my mom did it, then she'll be in college. How do I want to instruct you in the way of the Lord when I have not even brought you to church? Remember, life is about monkey see, monkey do. The only thing a baby monkey knows is that my mama hop all around the trees and eat banana. That's all. But you see, when you take the monkey out from the forest, the monkey is going to see another part of life. Because if everything you know is only monkey see, monkey do, and just eat banana, then how do you expect yourself to grow? As a matter of fact, you will not even know what is called trials. Because you are not used to it. Because you are not brought up that way. And that's why, see, I'm so glad in my heart to know that these babies are coming today. A foundation is being laid for these babies. Amen. A foundation that some of us never had. Now, look at what God is doing. Making sure that train up a child in the way that he should go, that when he is grown, he will not depart from it. Amen. Of course, it took pain to carry that pregnancy from 9 months. Of course, it took pain to buy those plane tickets, to travel down, just to make sure that I dedicate my child to God. You don't waste your trials. Don't waste your trials. Whatever you may or you are going through, you must realize that all these things were preparing you for what you are supposed to be doing today. Amen. I repeat again, don't waste your trials. If you want the anointing of God, you are going to go through the trials. You are going to go through fire. Whatever you want in life, brethren, you are going to go through trials. There's nothing like a land filled with milk and honey. Yes, of course, there's a land filled with milk and honey, but you must go through your wilderness experience. Israel went through their wilderness experience. You know why Israel went through their wilderness experience? So that they can unlearn Egypt. Amen. They will unlearn those characters, those attributes that we have that is not pleasing to God, that will hinder us from receiving the blessings of God. God will take us through trials so that we can unlearn those attitudes. And then when we finally come into the fullness of his blessings, we will not misuse it. As a matter of fact, that blessing will not end up destroying us. Amen. Amen. I repeat again, a child that just inherited his father's property, that I've not been through trials, I've not been through tribulation, tell me what do you think that child is going to do? He's going to misuse it. He's going to feel it's all right. Let me just, you know, scandalize it. Like the prodigal son, I'm going to get more. No, you don't get more. You don't get more. Now let's look at the life of Jesus. Give me the book of Hebrews 5 verse 8. Let's start from our master Jesus. Hebrews chapter 5 in verse 8. It says, though he were a son, learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, Jesus was the Son of God, right or wrong? But why would he suffer? Are you telling me that Jesus is disobedient? Of course not. But he had to come in the flesh to know what it feels to carry this flesh. In this flesh dwelleth no good place. You see, I feel sorry for those of us that like to pamper this flesh. You see this flesh? Don't pamper, rather pamper your spirit. You see, when you pamper your spirit, that is what is going to speak for you. The flesh ain't going to speak for you before God. Because there's nothing good in the flesh. This flesh is about trouble. This flesh is about sickness. This flesh is about hunger. This flesh is about lust. This flesh is about lasciviousness. Anything, that's all this flesh carries. Was it David or Solomon that says, "Amen, in this flesh dwelleth no good things"? Though Jesus were his son, but the Bible says he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, what did Jesus suffer? What did Jesus suffer? He suffered humiliation. He suffered abuse. He was despised. He was hated. He suffered. Now, why do you want to run just because somebody don't like you? Hello? I said, why do you want to throw in your crown just because you felt, you know, they're talking about me? Well, let them say. Let them talk about you. Because if they don't talk about you, how are you going to know that people are talking bad about you? And as a result, you will use whatever they are saying to make a standard in life. Do you know that even the dead people talk about them? The ones that are dead, we still talk about them. If you doubt me, tune into CNN. Every Sunday night, they will bring up one president. They will talk, I'm talking of President Dad. Even before my great fathers, great-great-great-grandfather were born, they still talk about them, how they rule, how they were fired, how they were impeached, and a whole lot, all the bad things they do. They're, so what about you? Who told you they won't talk about you? Do you know that if they don't talk about you, you will not become somebody progressive? Mm-hmm. Let them say. We have a say in my place, say, let them say. Like Apostle Delena came and said, when they talk about you, tell the devil, and so what? And so what? Mm-hmm. They said you are a prostitute, and so what? They said you are a murderer, and so what? And so what? I'm talking about the past life. But who am I now? You see, your prostitution, your murdering, your stealing was in the past. Now, why did God allow you to go through stealing, prostitution, murdering, whatever you might think? Why did God allow you to go through that process? And who are you now? Are you going to waste your trials by allowing what you were in the past rule your future? If you do that, then you are wasting your trials. That means you are telling God, my trials is not enough. Can I go through it one more time? No, I don't want to go through my trials one more time. Amen. God brought you out from the miry clay. He set your feet upon the rock to stay. But while you are going through the miry clay, that is your trials. Now you have set your feet upon the rock to stay. Who are you? Are you looking back? Oh, you know, when I used to sell drugs, I make money, man. I used to make money, I used to make money. Yeah, I know. But I also will tell you, see, right now that I'm in Jesus also. Yeah, I know how to make the money. Amen. Amen. I know you all know what I'm talking about. Listen, Jesus paid with his blood to secure those he loved. and I will rule and reign with him 1,000 years.
Amen.
Give me Revelation 20 verse 6. That is why Jesus suffered. That's why Jesus went through the trials. To salvage you and I. Revelation 20 verse 6. That will rule and reign with him in the coming kingdom. He said, blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. How do you want to reign with Christ 1,000 years when you are not willing to suffer like he suffered? He said, if you suffer with me, you shall what? Reign with me. Give me 2 Timothy 2:12. 2 Timothy 2 verse 12. If you suffer with him, then you are going to become priests of God and of Christ, and you shall reign with him 1,000 years. 2 Timothy 2 in verse 12. It says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. But I'm here to tell you today, please, do not waste your trials. You need your trials. Are you looking for a job? Don't give up. Keep searching. God is trying you. Are you looking for a spouse? Don't give up. God is trying you. God wants to see what character you are going to develop up to that process that you're asking. You see, you've been asking. God also is watching you. How faithful you're going to be. If God knows that you're going to mishandle whatever you're asking for him, he's not going to give it to you. But I can show you a way out, though. The way out is when you are going through your trials, why don't you smile? When you are going through your trials, praise God. When you are going through your affliction, thank the Lord. Ah, you may say, Pastor, you are not in my shoes. You don't know what it feels. Oh, no, I know how it feels. I've been in that shoes. We may endure for a moment. I'm not asking you not to cry, but you can cry just for a moment. But don't let that overwhelm you to where all the days of your life, you're always lamenting and crying. Amen. When you do that, you are wasting your trials. You are wasting your trials. Of course, we all know the story of Joseph. Oh, what a good example. Amen. Joseph. God will never stop any trial that comes your way. And actually, sometimes you might think that God has connived with an enemy. God has connived with the enemy to bring trials to your life. Is that not what Job said? I know what I'm saying. Job came to a point where he felt, God, you hate me. Job came to where he felt God connived with the devil to perfect him. But actually, God was trying to work out something in the life of Job. And you know what God was trying to work out in the life of Job? Job was over righteous. And God already told you, be not righteous over much. Why do you want to destroy yourself? He said, be not wicked over much. Why do you want to die before your time? So a man that is running for the mastery should be temperate in all things. Job was not temperate. Job felt, I give alms to the poor. I don't fornicate, I don't commit adultery, I don't lie, you know, I cook my children, I make sacrifices, I do. There's nothing like I don't. And God, Job, you can never be equal with me. I am the only God that I don't. But you, man, you will. And God came and said, okay, devil, have you considered my servant Job? So Job came to a point that I felt, God, you connived with the enemy to perfect me. But you know that in the midst of it all. Somebody say, in the midst of it all.
In the midst of it all.
Job says, though he slay me, he said, yet will I maintain my ways. Because Job came to the point where he knew, this couldn't have just been the devil, this is also God. You know, many of us Christians, especially Christians, when we're going through trial, you've prayed all you can pray. You're speaking the tongues that you know, both the tongues of angels, the tongues of the devil, and the tongues of men, and even the tongues of the marine spirit. You have spoken all. Nothing is happening. Why don't you just start praising God?
Amen.
Father, I have prayed. Nothing is happening. Why don't you just be happy? And say, Lord, I don't know what you are preventing me from, but whatever it is, Lord, I give you the glory. And what, how he's going to watch you as a big, a right spirit. Why do you think David is a friend of God? Why do you think Abraham, they are friends of God? Because when they were going through their trial, they didn't waste it. When they see that this thing is not moving, they will begin to dance. They will begin to praise God. And God will move from the heavens. Do you know that Paul and Silas were thrown in jail? Tell me, some of you, including me, you put me in jail for what I didn't do. Of course, I'm going to speak in tongues. I'm going to pray. Everything I will do, I will command. I will bind all the witches. I will bind all the wizards. I'll finish. And every day I'll be crying. So don't look at me like, oh, I'm super holy. I'm telling you what I will do. But you see, now that the grace of God, somebody say the grace of God.
The grace of God.
Is coming. Guess what? If any trial comes, I will be shaking, of course. That's why I'm human. But I'll quickly realize myself. Or God will send somebody my way and say, no, mama, remember, God is in control. Oh, yes, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I will say, oh, look at you telling me God is in control. It's because you don't know what I'm feeling. It's because you don't know what I'm feeling. No, they know what to feel. That is not God sending you a help to let you know that God, He, God, is in control of your trials.
Amen.
And then what do you do? Father, thank you. Lord, thank you. I know that this is going to work out for my good. You see, not until I begin to say that, some couple of years ago, I said this, I don't know what this is, but I know I'm not going to cry no more. And Lord, I know I'm not going to shed those tears no more. Especially when I've been told, you cry too much. In fact, my cry, fill the bottle is spilling. God don't know where else. You want me to kill them? That's the question they're asking me. God is asking, do you want me to just finish them? No, Lord, don't finish them. Then stop crying, because your cries is, I don't have anywhere to store your tears anymore. Okay, Lord, what do I do? Just keep praising God. And I came to the point where I said, you know what? Even so, so be it. Those of you that are close to me, you know, anytime I pray, I said, listen, I know that this is going to work out for my good. As I may not know, I may not see clearly what God is doing, but I know it's going to work out for my good. And I can boldly tell you, yes, it's still working out for my good. But it didn't work out at first. When I was complaining, I was wasting my trials. But when I realized that, no, that's true. Now come home. Whether you like, cry. Would that stop God from doing what he wants to do? So why don't you just be happy? I said, why don't you just what? Be happy. One of my daughters was looking for a job. Of course. Any day the thing gets to her, when you call her, how are you? Fine. How are you doing? I'm fine. I will laugh. I'll say, okay, I know something is not right. Why are you asking me that way? No, sister, nothing. I'm just tired. I said, look at you. I said, where were you when God created the heavens? Where were you when God allowed just 1 ounce of the spermatozoa of your father to go and fertilize your mother's egg? Do you know about it? Where were you? How dare you get angry with God just because things didn't work out your way? I said, do you know what God is preventing you from? Do you know if you have gotten that job you desire and one day you are going, you have an accident and you're gone? Is that what you want? You should keep quiet. Or maybe you get that same job and 2-3 months time you are fired. Is that what you want? Trust me, you all know. By the time I'm done, your sorrow will turn to joy. I said, by the time I'm done, your sorrow will turn to what? Joy. Because I'm not going to let you go feeling the same way you came. If I let you go feeling the same way you came, then that means I'm not qualified for this job. So don't blame me. Do not think I'm trying to sweet talk you. I'm not sweet talking, but it is my duty to make sure you go back revived. It is my duty to make sure you go back knowing that, yes, I must face this trial. Lord, thank you. If you are here and you know you are wasting your trials, put it on reverse. I said what? Put it on reverse. Now, Joseph was a man who for at the age of 17, listen, at the age of 17 years, he began his trials. But before then, his dream put him into trouble. He had a dream. And what's the dream? Oh, I see that my brethren, that's interpretation, they all were bowing down before me. Even the father rebuked him and said, you mean including me, your father, and your mother, and the rest of us will come and bow down to you? Who are you, this little brat? What kind of a devilish dream have you had? As a mother, your dream is not from God. That is a devilish dream. Though Moses was raised in the house of Pharaoh, but does that make him an Egyptian? Now, why did God make Moses dwell in the house of Pharaoh? That he may learn the rudiments of the house of Pharaoh. Because God knew, I'm still going to use you back. You see, when Moses came back, right? He knew all the hooks and the corners, all the holes in the Pharaoh's palace. So when Moses came back, he already knew what Pharaoh would say. He already knew what is going to happen. He gave it to them. Do you know if your trials was designed by God that you may be the proprietor when the time comes to go and rescue somebody? Amen. Do you know? Okay. If you don't go through, if Moses had not gone through the house of Pharaoh, how would he have known how to deliver the children of Israel? The fact that you've been to jail, my friend, the fact that you've been to prison, does not mean you belong or you are a felony. He raised that out of your mind. You are not a felony. Yes, a statement says you are a felony, but I'm here to declare in the name of the Lord Jesus, you are not a felony. Amen. But God has designed that jail, God designed that prison to prepare you to know what it feels like to be in that cave. So that when you come out, you will know what to say to someone else. Amen. You will tell that I've been there. I've done that. I've been doing that. In no pain. You all understand my language? In no pain. Yeah. She's looking at me. Oh, yeah. We're preaching together. Amen. Actually, the trials and temptation begins when we are young. Not when we are matured. I want you to know that. Your trust and temptation begins when you are young, not when you are matured. How do I know? You see, these babies are going to be dedicated today. Alright? Their trials already started. Pastor, they can't even talk. I'll tell you. Before, she's going to grow her teeth, right? Watch what is going to happen. She will start running temperature. Some will start having diarrhea. It all depends on the babies, right? Mm-hmm. And you'll be wondering, oh my God, what happened? Some will run to the hospital, take the child, because you don't know what is happening, right? Mm-hmm. Now, when the baby, once the baby brings out the teeth, the temperature is gone. That's one trial. When the wisdom, one of the wisdom two will come out, you will know, say, Kakino Beleda. Because the child will fall sick. Listen, these are just nature. And then the mother, you'll be wondering, some baby will lose, they will lose weight. That's another trial. Alright? Now, before they will start walking, they will crawl. While they are crawling, God have mercy. And you want to put that hot liquid on the floor, careless mother. And this child crawl and get his or her hand on it. What happened? Gets burnt. That's another trial. God asks my baby Grace today to put her hand on the candle. She will tell you, no, hell no. Because she's been burnt by it when she was a baby. She knows better now. When I see that yellow thing, I did not touch it. Trials. So do not think that your trials begins when you are mature. Actually, your trials begin when you were young. Now it's going to mature you, because without all these things that I'm mentioning, how do you think your child is complete? Would you think your child is deformed? If at the end of the day, no teeth, the child is not crawling. No, come on now. The child is not crawling. The child is not walking. What will you think? Oh, maybe my child is retarded. I need to go to the doctor. Because you know something is wrong. Now bring your mind back home. Think about it when you are mature, your trials. So why are you complaining? If you know that you need your trials to grow, to walk, to run and become a mature, a lady or a baby, what makes you feel that while you are mature, you don't need those trials to make you rich? Amen. Don't waste your trials. It is not right to call somebody my spiritual father, my spiritual mother, when you are not willing to learn their trade. Amen? I said it's not right to call whether someone or your real mom, your biological mom or your biological father, my father, my mother. You're not ready to learn their trade. Jesus learned the trade of Joseph. Jesus learned the trade of his heavenly father. And what's the trade of his heavenly father? To love, to heal the sick, to create, to make. So who are you learning from? I said, who are you learning from? Don't waste your trials. Without trials, there is no way Joseph would have become the second Pharaoh in Egypt. Joseph was focused. The reason why many of us waste our trials is because we are not focused. You know, I kept talking about being focused. If you are not focused, then how are you going to stay through your trials? How are you going to escape through your trials? The trials that Joseph went through, being sold into slavery, went into the house of Potiphar, being lied against, ended up in prison. From prison, God gave him another dream. He said, listen, God gave him a dream that put him into trouble. God also gave him another dream that brought him out of trouble. He gave him a dream that put him into trouble. He saw the wheat bowing down. Now, after he has gone through his trials and he was able to prove that, yes, Lord, God also gave him a dream that brought him out of trials. Somebody had a dream, right? And he interpreted the dream. And that's what promoted Joseph. Everything has its time. Everything has a season. Don't waste your trials. The fact that you did not get what you want right now does not mean God is not coming through. God is coming through. All you need to do is face your trials. Are you in school? Do not think that that exam is so hard. Are you in school? Do not think that lecturer is against me. Are you in school? Do not think that I cannot do it. Yes, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Who says you can't? Go through that trial. Study. It's only for a moment. It's only for a night. 2 years, 3 years, you're done. They will come and rejoice with you graduating. But within that period, you need to concentrate. That concentration time is what we think is too hard. Oh, I don't think I'll finish. No, yes, you will finish in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Not because I'm through with my lesson. But I don't know why God, because what I wanted to preach on is, you know, on child dedication and whatever have you. But he kept telling me, tell them don't waste your trials. Amen. And you know I love to listen to the Holy Spirit. So whoever amongst us here, you feel you are going through what the earth, nobody has ever gone through. But I'm here to declare to you that, no, somebody has gone through whatever you are going through. All you need to do is just be focused. As they were focused and they made it through, I'm here to tell you this morning, be focused. Whatever you need, God is coming through for you.
Amen.
God is coming through for you.
Amen.
Tap your neighbor and say, don't waste your trials.
Don't waste your trials.
Tap your neighbor and say, don't waste your trials.
Don't waste your trials.
May the Lord bless you this morning.
Amen.
May the Lord bless you this morning. Not because I'm finished. We'll continue next.